Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a very interesting program today with my special guest. He is Mr. Gerald Lynn, and he has written a very, very interesting book. It's called Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System. And with that, Gerald, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's just jump right in here. And you and I, like I said, you know, we easily spoke for an hour, hour and a half on the phone about this. It's just, this is a very compelling book. So tell us about your background and then what led to writing this very interesting book.
I was a pharmaceutical rep for 27 years, worked for multiple companies selling multiple different drugs. And I also took care of a friend of mine, 72 years old, for about 8 months of my life. He had a stroke and a heart attack, and I also was with my mom through the end of her life, hospice, et cetera. So I got a well-rounded background and saw things in the system that you won't see if you're in, like, a doctor or a nurse, et cetera. I got to talk to the people in the background. That would be office managers, medical assistants, everybody you can think of that makes up healthcare. And the reason why I wrote the book is I got to a point, started 12 years ago, people tell me, that I just saw these cracks in the system. And I always cared about patients, not about the medications that I sold. And patients were just getting left behind. The insurance industry is a big problem. And I saw the system get worse and worse. 1990s when I started. And I finally said, you know, I'm semi-retired. I got out of the industry, and I just had to put my thoughts down to paper and help some people. That's my intention.
Excellent. Again, the book is called Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System. And Gerald, I think the three ways to get that.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. And you want to go to my, you can also go to my site, authorgeraldlynn.com. Now, you want to put my name in as Gerald Lynn, CMR, and that stands for Certified Medical Representative. And then you can find every set of social media you want on me.
Okay. And the website is very, very good. And again, this is very compelling. It will, your eyebrows going to go up like, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Or maybe I didn't look at it that way. So obviously it's not a perfect system. You found all the cracks and the blemishes and where people could fall through the cracks and maybe not receive the care or just all the problems that we've discussed earlier. So significant problems with the healthcare system. And you had mentioned that Americans are just confused and many times uninformed about how their healthcare system works.
Well, DHS has a statistic that only 12% of adults in the United States have proficient literacy in their health care.
Now, what does that mean?
They just don't know. They don't know, aside from what to do when things hit them. For example, you have a health insurance plan from your employer. Do they know everything and how everything works? No, they get hit in the face when they get sick. And that's pretty much it. So people don't know what they can do, what they can't do. I actually have a chapter on advocacy because people just don't know. When they're told no, they just accept it. And they go on from there. And actually, doctors are the number one trusted profession in the United States. Not that they should or shouldn't be, but when a doctor tells you, hey, this is so, no question, no second opinion. So people just don't know what to do, I guess. And my book is a manual and a guide to know what to do, what to look out for, when to be concerned.
Well,
that's what that means.
Absolutely. Here's an example. So this year I've consumed a lot of healthcare, used a lot of benefits, et cetera. And, you know, if you say, okay, well, I need to set up an MRI or a CT scan. And so you just go out and you just pick a place. Well, guess what? According to your healthcare insurance, are they an in-network provider? Are they a kind of a second-tier provider? Or if they're the third tier, that just means you're paying less for in-network, more for a second tier, and then you're going to pay almost cash out of pocket for the third tier. And people don't know what provider is in what tier. That's just one of the probably 100 different examples.
Well, yeah, that pulls you back to insurance. And you got to remember, health insurance is not health care. It's just like any other kind of insurance you have in your life, your home, your car. It's there when things break, and then it's there to help you pay for them. So, but the rules and regulations, yes, it depends on the quality of your plan. The more expensive PPO plans, you don't need what's called a referral, which means your doctor has to justify why you need something. You don't need permission. You don't tie up your physician. And yes, limiting you to, and this happens to our seniors quite a bit on the managed care, Medicare Advantage plans, you're limited to the list. If you don't like your doctor, well, that's the list. And then if you go someplace else, you may very well have to pay out of pocket. And those are the more restrictive plans that we have. So yeah, you're 100%. That's stuff that I go into my book on the chapter on healthcare. That's chapter three. It's a big maze of things to go through, and my book navigates, okay, this has happened. You can't get these results. Watch out for this because this is how it might go. And that goes back to literacy. They don't understand when the process doesn't work and they can't get what they need and they have to wait forever to see somebody.
In chapter 1 and 8 addresses this concern or this issue. Is that correct?
Yes, I hit these topics right up at the beginning, and that's where I got that statistic about healthcare literacy.
Okay, the book is Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System by Gerald Lynn, and you could go on Amazon and just type in Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, and then put a C-M-R after that, and you're gonna find it easily. You could also find all the social media networks that he's involved in. You could go to Barnes & Noble to find the book, or you could go directly to his website, authorgeraldlynn.com. And there's a high rate of death or permanent disability due to misdiagnoses in the U.S., and you talk about that in Chapters 5 and Chapters 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a statistic that I have. I didn't mention it in the book because I saw it. It was even more serious than I thought. Johns Hopkins in 2023 came out with a statistic that 795,000 Americans a year either die or have permanent disability from a misdiagnosis and a mistake. And the problem with a misdiagnosis is not only are they wrong, they probably are treating you for a disease you don't have. And what they're going to use to treat you, and I've heard this in a number of instances, like since I wrote the book, I get stories from everyone. The medications they use might make you worse. And it takes time between offices. There's communication issues. But yeah, that's a crazy number, I think, every year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And Gerald, I love that you set this book up. This is not some kind of a novel that you read and you're like, okay, that was wonderful. I enjoyed that. And you put it on the shelf. This is really written more as a manual that you can go back and refer to. Is that correct?
Yes, if you go to each chapter, matter of fact, I know several people that read it. One of them was a doctor that I know. He said it was nice because he didn't want to read the book cover to cover because the first four chapters are for people that don't know the system. They don't know insurance. They don't know this or that. But you can go to the hospital section or the you need more care, like long-term care and things you have to do after the hospital or advocacy. So you go to the table of contents, you can pick what you want to read right then. And if something happens in your life, you can go, oh, my mom's in the hospital. Go right to the hospital section. So you're 100% right. It's a manual.
Okay. And give us the number of individuals that either, you know, have experienced death or permanent disability due to a misdiagnosis.
795,000. And that's every year.
That's an annual number. That's not an aggregate.
And that's from Johns Hopkins.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Take that in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Again, if this is catching your attention, like it's catching mine, and Gerald, I'm going to order the book, and I'm really looking forward to reading this thing cover to cover, and like you said, referring to the book as almost like a manual, so you can go back and you can check out different chapters. And so, for our listening audience, here's the book again: Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System, and again, author Gerald Lynn, CMR. What does the CMR stand for again, Gerald?
I went to before I was a pharmaceutical rep before there were computers and Google, and I got certified. Took me 2 years. I couldn't look things up. Usually you couldn't call somebody, so I had to know my stuff.
So you had to know things.
well, I was thought of as a resource. Now, you didn't have to get that, but back then pharmaceutical companies, some of them paid for them, like Pfizer. I had to ask for them to pay for it. Took me 2 years. Matter of fact, when I started, I used to have to go to the medical school in Tucson, Arizona to take tests. Then they got computers to do that. But I wanted to know what I didn't know.
And now the Senior Care Live question of the week. Generic drugs work exactly the same as the original formulation. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Now back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Generic drugs work exactly the same as the original formulation. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. Unbelievably, Gerald tells me the answer is false. So Gerald, what in the world are you talking about? Because I've been told for my entire life, oh, just get the generic. It's the same thing. You're saying it is not.
Well, it is the same thing in that it is the same molecule. So if you're getting rosuvastatin, for example, it is the molecule rosuvastatin. What changes is, and let me give you something that's actually from the FDA. Generic drugs can vary 80 to 125% from the branded medication. They are not tested in people. They take the package insert information. It's supposed to be the same, right? So they take the information that's in the little white paper that you get with the medicine, and they just use it for the generic. Now, the difference with the generics are there are different binders, fillers, and other ingredients to make it to where sometimes they will not work at all. And what's interesting about that is a generic manufacturer's drug may not work as well as the other manufacturer's drug. So generics aren't even equivalent to themselves. And what happens is you get off of what's called steady state, which means you're already stable on this and everything's working fine. And unless you have something like GERD or high blood pressure, you can't recognize that it's not working. And I had this happen with my esomeprazole. This is certain specific manufacturer's brand of generic. It will not work at all.
Mm. Wow.
That's because of the binders, fillers, and how your body metabolizes things, and that's every human being is different, and we have different ways of making. There's certain drugs that don't even work in me. And that happens to other people as well.
Okay. So guaranteed, we just blew thousands of minds right there. So and I had no idea. So look, we're speaking today with author and former pharmaceutical representative, right? You're kind of semi-retired at this point, but Gerald Lynn, and he's written a compelling book, Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or just go directly to Gerald's site. It's author Gerald Lynn, GERALDLYNN, author Gerald Lynn.com. And Gerald, you know, how many times it seems difficult to get in to see your doctor right away. You may have to wait for, you know, forever to maybe to see a specialist or get a timely test result. Why is that?
Well, first of all, there aren't enough doctors.
Yeah.
It costs over half a million dollars to become a doctor. It takes 8 to 12 years. A lot of people don't want to do that. But that and managed care organizations, many doctors, especially new ones, they're not working for themselves. They're working for somebody else. And when you're working for somebody else, they have quotas as to how many people you need to see a day. Usually it's about 15. You can't do great medicine seeing patients every 15 minutes, but that's really where it is. So they pack people in. Now, there's another caveat to that, too. If you don't have an established doctor, you will not get in to see a practice. You have to go to urgent care because they have to see you first. It takes an hour. They do a physical. So you can't just call up a doctor and say, hey, Dr. Jones, I heard you were good for my friend so-and-so. I need to see you today. It won't happen.
They have to establish you as a new patient, which takes them – that's a much longer initial appointment, and they may not have that for 2-3 months out.
Exactly. If it's a specialist, especially, I had an issue with the urology office. I was an established patient. Oh, yeah, well, he can't see you. You have to see a PA. Well, when can he see me? Well, maybe for your next physical.
Yeah, next year.
Yes. So you see a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner, not that they're bad. The ones that are older are better. They've been around. They have experience. That's just because of experience.
Yeah,
newer
yeah.
people, they have not seen some things. And that's where you get misdiagnosis from.
Oh, boy. All right. And you address this issue in Chapter 2.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And then communication issues between doctors and hospitals, or maybe doctor to doctor, this occurs all the time, too often.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's explain why. Everybody probably hears the term electronic medical record systems. The problem is when they were instituted, the offices were not given enough money. They said $50,000 is what they got. $500,000 is probably more like it. But the problem is none of the systems talk to each other unless you're in the same system. The VA is a great example. I wish everybody would work that way. If you're in the VA system, anywhere you go, they can find your records. In the United States, you go into a hospital and you're not a patient of one of their offshoots, you're blind. They don't have your records. They don't know what drugs you're on. You're in there for treatment of something. And if you're not conscious, especially, or can't tell them, that's what the problem is. And then people don't realize either. The main form of communication between doctors, offices, and hospitals and between each other are still fax machines.
See, which blows my mind. I think it's a positive and a huge negative, but you're right. You're right. We have a lot of silos around here, healthcare silos. And in our neck of the woods in the Kansas City area, the two big EMRs would be Epic and Cerner. And okay. if you were in Cerner, now you're in Epic. These two systems do not communicate with each other, period. And you're right. Now you're stuck in a silo and you have communication issues big time. So you address that in Chapter 5 and 11.
Now, let me take that up just one more notch.
Okay, sure.
Okay, just so you have two different doctors. You have a cardiologist and your primary care doctor. You have the same system. If one of them doesn't put in the new medicine that you were just started on, chances are that won't happen. But if they don't, then the other office doesn't know. So you may have a drug interaction because one doesn't know what the other one did if it wasn't put into the computer.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And I lived this with my own grandmother. This has been quite a long time ago. But she was on like 2 over-the-counter meds, went to the hospital. They added a bunch. Went to the rehab hospital. They added a bunch. And by the time she was discharged after about a month long, you know, hospitalization between the two, back to her assisted living community, she was on about a page and a half of medications, over $5,000 a month, and she felt horrible.
How many were duplicative?
Well, good question. So I had to call the doctor and say, look, if it doesn't kill her, take it off. Take it off of her. And he got it down to about $1,000. And guess what? She felt much better. She felt much better because she was just being completely over-medicated. And then you mentioned that health insurance companies fight against your doctor instead of letting you get the care that you need. And why is that?
Once again, it's reactive. It's reactive to what's just happened, just like your car. You have an accident. Okay, now you can have this care. Well, if you're not sick already, many insurances will not let you get certain tests. You say, I want this or that. Nope. Sorry, until you're sick, we can't justify giving you the test. You know, recently the Affordable Care Act came up and we just had a government shutdown supposedly over it. But just think of this. If it's affordable, it should be able to stand on its own. But what is that? It's an insurance plan you could get yourself, but you can't afford it. Well, who controls the cost of that insurance plan? The premiums are set by insurance companies, not the government.
Yep.
Easy enough. That's who controls cost.
And that's
so subsidizing something that's controlled by another entity that is not yours. Yeah, I'm just going to pay somebody to give me what I should get because they charge me too much. Hey, subsidize right. me buying a new car.
So many issues. Gerald, this has been fascinating. Get the book, Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System by Gerald Lynn. And Gerald, thanks so much for being on today. I really appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
All right. We'd just like to say thanks again to author Gerald Lynn. He wrote a very compelling, it's going to raise some eyebrows. It also provides a heck of a lot of information on how to address some of these things. But the book is called Surviving the U.S. Healthcare system. He was a pharmaceutical rep, and he was always about the best interest of the patient, you know, not trying to, you know, get the most doctors to use the whatever medication it was. And he was very successful because he put the person first. And that's anyone doing that, you're a winner in my book, right? Right. So, but he also was the caregiver for his own mother and another friend. And he saw firsthand all, like, he kind of described it as the cracks in the healthcare system and the gaps and all of the things where people kind of fall through or bad things happen or negative things happen because of this and that and the other. So it's a really amazing book. I would highly recommend that you get your own copy of that, Surviving the U.S. Healthcare System by author Gerald Lynn, GeraldLynn. And you could get that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or directly on his website, authorgeraldlynn.com. And again, this book is, it's not like a novel where you read it like, oh yeah, that was pretty interesting. It's really designed as more of a workbook where you can refer back to different chapters for different things. And along with pointing out some of the issues, he also let you know, I think even as important, maybe more importantly, how to address those issues and deal with some of these things. So again, Gerald, just thanks so much for being on the program. That was incredible. Very, very interesting. All right. So now that we are, I mean, here we are, right? Thanksgiving is less than a week away, which is, I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying that. I have no clue where the time is going. My wife says almost every day, she's like, oh my gosh, the time is going so fast. And it always takes me back to something my grandma told me. I was a young college kid, wet behind the ears. I thought summers lasted a really long time because they did back then. And I would go to college in the mornings, and I'd stop by her house, and she'd make me lunch, and we'd hang out for a while, and then I'd go to work. I had an afternoon job, and I always used to remember Grandma saying, oh, my goodness, honey, the time is just going by so fast. And I believed her, 100% I believed her, but I just couldn't relate to it. Because, you know, I'm 20 years old. I don't know anything. I don't have a lot of life experience. And it didn't feel like it was going by fast for me. But now I'm in full agreement with my grandmother. And every time I think about that, I look up and I say, Grandma, you were so right. It's just unbelievable. And I didn't doubt her. I just couldn't relate to it. So now I can relate fully. but anyway, so as we have a lot of families who may be in town this weekend for an early Thanksgiving, lots and lots of families will have Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day on that Thursday, like my family does. But a lot of families live from out of town. They may have to go to two different Thanksgivings, maybe both sides of the family, et cetera. Or maybe that particular day just doesn't work. So a lot of people have Thanksgiving over this weekend. Or maybe on one of the other days of the week coming up. And maybe next weekend, the weekend after Thanksgiving. So I just want to talk about some of this stuff. So for the next week and a half, we have families traveling back to Kansas City, and they're all gathering together, like most of us do. Not all of us do this stuff. Most people gather up, at least with friends. But we always gather with family, and it's very traditional Thanksgiving meal, and we talk about what we're thankful for. We say a prayer of thanks before our meal and the whole thing, right? So and this year we have a lot to be thankful for. I survived brain surgery and the whole thing. So this has been a hell of a year. let me just say that. But anyway, so families will gather. And maybe they haven't seen mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or another loved one, aunt, uncle, et cetera. Maybe they haven't seen them for a long time, maybe a year, maybe even a couple of years. Maybe you talk to your mom on the phone or you FaceTime dad and you say, well, yeah, I think their memory might be just slipping a little bit, but yeah, it's still doing pretty good. And then you get back home and then you're around them for an extended period of time and you're like, Oh my goodness. I think we have an issue here. We have a problem. And you know, one story I'll never forget. One of my first clients. Early. She may have been my second or third client. Long time ago. She had that aha moment. Unfortunately. She lived in Denver. Mom lived here in the Kansas City metro area over in Prairie Village, and super sweet lady. And she said every year around the holidays, I would fly home Thanksgiving and Christmas. And every time we would do a lot of baking, lots of baking. And she said that they were making cookies and she said, okay. And she got the 1 cup scoop. And she said, okay, Mom, we need a cup of sugar. She hands it to her mom. She turns around and she's doing what she was doing. And then the sugar wasn't coming. So she turns around and looks at her mom. And her mom is just standing there with the cup, looking at the cup. And she didn't know what to do with it. And she said, it took me a second. And then she said, I was just like, oh my goodness. And she didn't say that out loud, but she thought it. And she's like, oh my gosh, my mom doesn't know what to do with the cup. We have baked for decades and decades. And she said, okay, Mom, I need a cup of sugar. And so she went over, she kind of showed her how to get a cup of sugar. She, Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll get you a cup of sugar. But she wasn't sure what to do with it. And she said, my blood just ran cold. I'm like, I mean, I knew she was slipping a little bit, but that blew my mind. And I thought this, and she lived alone in this house, in this big house. And she had already been taken advantage of financially by some shyster saying, you need a new roof, gave him, you know, half the money for a roof. Of course, never saw the guy again. Right. So she's slipping there a little bit because she never would have done that before then, and she couldn't remember. So you see where all this is going. So families gather, and they have these aha moments, these oh my goodness moments. And so families talk, and they get together, and they talk about it. They said, you know, we need to bring in a home care provider to be with Mom, or we need to take shifts and check on Mom, or maybe we need to move Mom to assisted living where there's 24-hour supervision and assistance and that kind of a thing. So, or maybe we might even need long-term care because we have some other medical issues on top of the cognitive issues. So families talk, they make plans, and they're like, you know what, we just realized this. This is this newly realized issue. So we're not in a crisis. It's not an emergency, but we need to deal with this. We need to address it. So after the holidays, let's get through the holidays. And after the first of the year, let's go out and let's look at some places. If you need assisted living or long-term care, if you need a care community, let's go out and look at some places and get on the list, or maybe go ahead and get Mom or Dad or our loved one moved in. And so that happens. That happens a lot. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be addressing issues and things that you need to know around that newly realized, oh my goodness, moment and help you out with that. So the number one question that I have been asked since the year 2002, that's a long time ago, right? It's the most frequently asked question that I've had, and it's not even close, by a mile. And that question is, Steve, when should we move? When should we consider moving from home to a senior care community? And so what I'm going to do, coming up next, is that I am going to discuss, some of the things that should trigger that conversation. Because frankly, I mean, sometimes it's pretty obvious. Mom's had 5 falls in the last week and a half, and now that's becoming, a major situation, right? Or Mom's forgetting to take her medications, or something's happened, and we need to move right away. It's very, very clear. But usually it falls into that gray area, and it's not so clear at all. So coming up next, I'll discuss what should trigger the conversation of considering moving from your home to a senior care community.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
All right, so back to the most frequently asked question that I've had over the last 23 years? Steve, when do we move? We don't want to move too soon. We don't want to wait too long. What does that look like? We want to get it right. So I always say that, you know, that again, sometimes it's very obvious. Usually it's not so obvious. So the following things should trigger the conversation of considering moving from your home to a senior care community. Number one, when we have a safety issue. This is by far and away number one, when it's no longer safe to live at home. And a lot of these examples, I'm just going to fly through some of this, but a lot of these examples are related to having dementia or some sort of a cognitive impairment. You can have early dementia. It can be, you know, right in the middle or advanced. Different forms of dementia, Alzheimer's, lots of different forms of dementia, but any type of cognitive impairment. So leaving the stovetop burners on, obviously a major, major safety issue. And if that is an issue, first of all, we've never had any problem with that. Well, it's not a problem until the day that it is a problem. So I would be proactive with that. And if you believe that it's dangerous to have your loved one operating a stove or the oven, then unplug it or turn the gas off or flip the breaker if it's electric. So you can do it. It's pretty easy to disable that. Okay, and then you can help provide the food and there are lots of services and Meals on Wheels, all kinds of stuff. But just disable it and take that one off the plate, off the table there. Another one, wandering away and can't find your way back home. This is very common with individuals with dementia. And oftentimes, unfortunately, if they're away from their house, either walking away, they may get confused, not be able to make their way back home. What I think is maybe even worse is driving away. Shouldn't be driving in the first place. But now, you know, you're driving out of Kansas City and the next thing you know, you're in Tulsa or Omaha or Denver or Chicago. You know, you're not even the same state. And we have these silver alerts out. Every time I see a silver alert on social media, every time I just automatically, boom, I repost it because you never know if someone might see that and then be able to help this person. Malnutrition and dehydration. Boy, this is pretty common. This is pretty common. You got to check in on your loved one and see if this is an issue. Not eating properly, definitely not drinking properly, leads to all kinds of problems. Unsanitary living conditions due to the inability to keep things up. Frequent injuries at home, frequent falls, frequent hospitalizations. This one flies under the radar, but is a major safety issue. Not taking your medications properly. Maybe not taking them on time, maybe not taking them at all. That's a major, major safety issue. And then, of course, you have the elder financial abuse, and that one makes my blood boil, and I don't understand it. But these things fall into that category of when it's no longer safe to live at home, that should definitely trigger the conversation of considering moving from home to a senior care community. Number two, I would call this a 1A or a very close number two. When the caregiver's health and well-being are in decline. Perfect example, you have an 80-year-old spouse caring for an 80-year-old spouse, and the caregiver spouse is just being crushed from the stress of being the caregiver. So your health and your well-being, we're talking about your mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and of course your physical health. So as caregivers, we place our own needs kind of on the back burner, right? We skip doctor's offices, appointments, dentist appointments. We don't keep up on our optometrist appointments. We skip social events like getting together with the ladies for book club, getting together with the guys for, you know, donuts and coffee on Friday mornings. So we skip socializing. We stop going to church. All of these things, we just kind of withdraw. And the stress just keeps piling on and piling on and piling on. If you see this, you got to step in. Here's why. Stress is such a powerful force. I can't tell you how many times I've seen to where the caregiver spouse dies before the person they're taking care of because they're crushed with the stress. They have a stroke. They have a heart attack. They put their own needs on the back burner, and maybe all of a sudden the doctors didn't catch a cancer that all of a sudden is now this huge problem when they could have maybe caught it a couple of years ago and treated it, right? There are all kinds of examples, but I've seen the caregiver spouse pass away before the person they're caring for. You can't let that happen. This is avoidable, but you have to step in and take action. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Number three, when the cost of in-home care becomes too expensive. Now, I am a huge, huge fan and proponent of home care services. I refer to home care companies all the time. But if your need for in-home assistance rises to the level of 24 hours, so they're around the clock, you know, this used to cost $15,000 to $20,000 a month. Now it's a solid $25,000 to $30,000 a month. And I don't care how much money you have, that's a lot of money. If you can afford it, fantastic. But maybe you pay for that for a little while, and then you're like, wait a minute, I think we could be better stewards of the money and maybe move to assisted living for $6,000 to $8,000 a month, right? And get 24-hour care. It's not in your own home. It's not the same, but maybe it's a more cost-effective way to get that care. Okay, so it could just be that in-home care and home support is just, it's a financial issue. And then last but not least, when the care that you provide is just not enough, why not consider changing your role from the caregiver to the care manager, meaning let's go out, let's find a great place that can provide the hands-on care 24/7, and then you can go back to your original role as the loving husband, the loving wife, the loving son or daughter, in my case, the loving grandson, and manage their care, speak for them, make sure that they're getting all the care that they need and that they deserve. And if you need help with that search and selection process, okay, even through the holidays, I've been talking about this all the time, no one has enough time to get this done. Well, we've done the research for you. We can get you through that whole process, put you in a position to make an informed decision, make decisions you're comfortable with, find the right place and the best place first and get it right the first time. And we can help you do that in just literally a few hours of your time. That's resonating with you. Give us a call right now is the time that we need to be doing that. 913-945-2800 or visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. It would be our honor to serve you and your family. All right. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.